Those who lead Christian communities are called preacher, pastor, parson, and reverend, among many other titles. But the most ancient is what the Catholic Church calls its ministers, priest. We use the word often, but do we know what a priest really is? What is its definition? Priests have been with us since ancient times across many cultures. And what is it then that a priest does to make him a priest? He offers sacrifice. He offers his sacrifice on behalf of himself and the community that he serves. In doing so, he becomes the mediator between God and humanity. When the priest prays the first Eucharistic prayer, he invokes the long history of the priesthood. When he says, "Be pleased to look upon these offerings with a serene and kindly countenance, and to accept them, as once you were pleased to accept the gifts of your servant, Abel the Just, the sacrifice of Abraham, our father in faith, and the offering of your high priest Melchizedek." The Jewish priesthood was one of offering bloody sacrifices in the form of animals to the Lord on behalf of the Jewish people. He was the mediator between God and the Hebrews. We see that in today's first reading, Moses and Aaron represented the Levitical or Jewish priesthood. The people grumbled against God for the lack of food, and they were not satisfied or even grateful that God had led them out of slavery in Egypt. And so they asked Moses to bring these new petitions to God. This would have likely taken place in the context of Moses offering the prescribed sacrifice to the Lord. And so Moses gathered the prayers of the people to God, and the Lord responded, giving them bread from heaven. The manna in the desert. Of course, this manna was a miracle, but it was only a physical bread that would satisfy the earthly hunger of the people. That was the miracle of the Old Testament, brought forth by the mediation of the old priesthood. Today in the Gospel, Christ recalls this event. Again, the people, like their ancestors, are not satisfied, not grateful for what they have just experienced. Remember that Jesus has just multiplied the loaves and the fish for them, satisfying their hunger. But they go so far as to ask him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do?" Have they forgotten what Christ just did for them at the multiplication of loaves and fishes? No, human beings are never satisfied with the sign that they're given to believe. This is why no matter how many signs God works here on earth, the gift of faith is always required. But the crowd around Jesus then brings up this image of manna in the desert. They tell Jesus that Moses gave us bread from heaven to eat. And Christ here gives an all-important teaching about the priesthood when he says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven." This would seem to be untrue. Moses prayed for bread from heaven, and that bread came. However, Moses was acting as a priest. He was the mediator. God worked the miracle. And Christ's words here get to the very heart of what priesthood is. It is mediation between God and humanity. And so, many times, our Protestant brothers and sisters ask why we don't go straight to God. Why we need the priest. And the answer is because if we look at salvation history, that's the way God chooses to act. Jesus Christ is the high priest, the mediator between God and man. He ordained 12 men to be the first priests, those who, after he ascended, would act as a mediator in his name. And from the time of those 12 apostles, this office has been passed down generation after generation by the laying on of hands. And so when the priest acts, he acts not as himself, but in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. "I am a sinner like any other man, and probably worse. And so, like the priest St. Paul, I have nothing to boast of except Christ. For any good I do is the work of Jesus through me. I have no power to forgive sins or to turn bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus. These are the powers of God. And yet, he has chosen mere mortals to act as instruments of this grace. And so when I say, I absolve you, it would mean nothing if Father Joe Farrell were saying that. You didn't sin against me. No, when I say these words, I am acting as an instrument of God's mercy and forgiveness. And of course, it's the same when I say, this is my body. It's not the body of Father Farrell. I doubt most of you would show up for that. No, it is again the priest speaking in the person of Christ. The priest acts as an instrument, using Jesus' words to do his work. The mediation of the priest between God and humanity. So within the priesthood, God does his part, as does the priest. And what of you, the people? Each of us, when we were baptized, were also anointed, priest, prophet, and king. And what is that priesthood of the baptized? It is not the ministerial priesthood, but it is no less important. We must join our own sacrifice, our sorrows, joys, failings, and hopes, to that of the priest on the altar. For the priest brings more than just bread and wine to offer. He brings his entire self, and we all must do likewise. Each week we offer everything we are with the priest to God. This is why the priest prays not just that his sacrifice is acceptable to God. Rather, he calls on all of us, asking brothers and sisters to pray that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. And so the sacrifice is by my hands, but it is far from mine alone. And what happens to that sacrifice? It's the greatest miracle of all. It is changed into the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus alludes to that at the end of today's gospel when he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. And in next week's gospel, Christ will begin to tell us exactly what he means by that. So I challenge everyone today, and in the days to come, that when the altar is being prepared with the bread and wine, the chalice and the ciboria, that you place your offering on the altar as well. Your hopes and fears, joys and sorrows, failures and successes, indeed your entire self. And in doing so, you will join your sacrifice to that of the priest, and ultimately join yourself to Christ himself. And also to pray for vocations and encourage them in your own home. It's so easy to pray that there are vocations to the priesthood in the abstract. That somebody else's son will be there when we need confession or anointing of the sick. But God calls us to participate in that sacrifice unselfishly and to nurture vocations within our very own families, not just in other homes. And believe me, some of the young men in the church today are called to the priesthood. And if you are, you owe it to yourself, to God, and to his church to consider what God is calling you to. In the words of Father Jean-Baptiste Lacordaire, to live in the midst of the world with no desire for its pleasures, to be a member of every family, yet belonging to none, to share all sufferings, to penetrate all secrets, to heal all wounds, to daily go from God to offer men their homage and petitions, to return from God to men, to bring them his pardon and hope, to have a heart of fire for charity and a heart of bronze for chastity, to bless and to be blessed forever. O God, what a life! And it is yours, O priest of Jesus Christ.